We're going to get started this morning. If I can get some scriptures first. Anthony, if you can get our main text, Leviticus 6, 8 through 13. And then Nate, if you can get verse 8 of our text, Leviticus 6, 8. Lem, Matthew 3, 11. Trevor, Luke 12, 49. Who else we got here? Jordan. Let me get Psalms 104:4. Let me get also Ken, Leviticus 6:9. Adam, Leviticus 6:10 through 12. And then you got your Bible? All right. Will, Matthew 12:20. We're going to get going. Charles C. Connick, he was a craftsman that became famous for his stained glass windows. And he tells about a time when one of his young apprentices came to him and asked if he could borrow his tools. And Connick asked him why. And the young apprentice said, I'm very dissatisfied with my work. It's not coming out the way I intended to. And so I'd like to use your tools to see if I can do better. In about a week, Connick went back and he asked him, how are things going? And the young man replied, not good, sir. One of the older artists in the workshop overheard the conversation and interrupted to say to the young man, you not only need the tools of the master, but you also need his fire. And so here, I want to talk about tending the fire out of Leviticus 6, 8 through 13. And so a lot of times in our church, whether it be through a Serious Men, we just got out of revival, Holy Ghost revival. I don't know if you guys were able to come to the nights, but absolutely crucial ministry, absolutely crucial words that were spoken to people, to individuals, in due season. And these type of things, you know, a sermon, a Serious Men, a conference, you know, a rally, this last men's discipleship also, you know, Pastor Greg preached a masterpiece on bringing the kingdom, you know, just an absolute, I don't even know how to explain it, but it puts something in us. It's Holy Ghost. It's a fire that is placed within us. Even when we first get saved, there's something that is placed within us that God puts in there. It's a life. It's something that burns. It's something that is intended to be maintained. Because how many of you know fire needs fuel to keep burning, right? And a lot of times there's things that can happen in life that can extinguish that flame, or that can dampen it, or that can cause it to wither away just over the natural course of time. You know, if we fail at maintaining the fire, then things are going to happen. You know, we're going to fall away, in a sense, from what God has called us all for. And so I want to just a short shot on tending the fire out of Leviticus 6, 8 through 13. Anthony, if you can get that.
And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning thereon. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and he shall take up the ashes run to the fire, hath consumed the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on the other garments, and carry forth the ashes upon the camp unto a clean place. And the fire shall upon the altar be kept burning thereon. It shall not go out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. And he shall lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Fire shall be kept burning upon the altar continually. It shall not go out.
All right, tending the fire. And so, Anthony's version, you got to put on your new britches. very good. But in this text, we understand a few things, that these priests had many tasks. But among them stood one important, the most important duty, and that was to keep the fire tended, was to keep it going. The fire on the altar, the eternal flame on which sacrifices were offered to God, it was to be tended with care. Other duties, other things that they had to do, they could wait, but this was their main thing, this was their main focus. as it is for us. Other tasks could be deferred. The fire of the altar was to be kept burning because it was a visible symbol of God's presence among His people. As it is with us, it's a visible symbol. God working in us, doing something in us, burning off the impurities, the dross, the things that are inside. And so we have to keep this tended. So many times we can get caught up in other things, caught up in the event, caught up in a structure, caught up in work and family and wives and kids and so many other things. But the main thing that we have to maintain is this fire. And so I want to talk first about a spiritual application. And so, you know, here in our church, we don't keep a fire burning on the altar. You know, this isn't part of the door director's duties. You know, this isn't in the door director's handbook. You know, you must tend fire at all times, you know. Because I would have failed miserably if I had to keep a fire going. Growing up, I hated fires. You know, I used to start the fire in our fireplace at home. And I hated it. You know, once I got older, we had a fireplace in one of our houses that we lived in. I have a fireplace now, and I probably will bet that I will never turn it on just because I hate starting fires in the fireplace. And so, but we all know, and something that Pastor Greg has taught us, one of the tools that he's given us is that to understand that the physical of the Old Testament brings spiritual to us today, a spiritual application, a spiritual truth for us. And so for Christians, the inner flame is that spark, is that life that God gives us when we first get saved, when we first come to an altar. And we ask Jesus Christ into our heart, and then little by little that flame, you know, becomes, you know, in the beginning we like to tend that flame, right? We like what God's doing in our lives. We like the change that's happening, the things that are burning off. We can almost see it happening in our own lives. Other people can see it too. If you were at the 180 last night, you saw the video of John Crow, an absolute incredible depiction. You could see the countenance change dramatically from where the beginning of the video starts to where it ends. You know, it's absolutely incredible. And that's what God does in all of us, in salvation. And it grows from there. And so the inner fire burns on the altar of each and every one of our hearts. And so that inner fire of devotion must burn brightly if the outer life, if what we're going to do as Christians, if our ministry, if our destiny, if our calling is going to reflect God's glory, then something has to be working on the inside. And like our illustration highlighted, we can use all the tools that Pastor Greg gives us. These classes are absolutely pivotal. I was talking to Stephen Cassio just on a Friday, I believe it was, and he's telling me, he's like, I'm talking to these people, and it's like I'm living one of the serious men's that Pastor Greg gave me. You know, talking to religious people or talking to people, you know, just different instances that he's able to go back and use those tools that God gave us. But also, Stephen has to have something working inside of him. It's not enough just to have the tools. We need that fire as well. We need the fire that God has placed within us from the very beginning of our salvation to continue into everything that we do. And so it must not go out. Let's read verse 8 of our text.
You want 8 and 9?
Oh yeah, 8 and 9, sorry.
All right. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the
hearth?
Upon the hearth, upon the altar, all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it.
And so we read here, this wasn't a suggestion. This wasn't God telling Moses, hey, you know what I think would be cool? Is if you guys kept a fire going in the altar or in the temple. No, he says, command Aaron and his son. And his sons. And so this, we understand, is it's for us too. And we have to understand one thing, is that whatever God commands, He knows that we can do it. God doesn't place or impose commandments on us that are impossible. I mean, how hard is it to keep a fire going? How many of you have been camping? You just throw a couple logs on the fire, right? And it keeps going. It builds up. You see it smoldering out. You put another log. You keep adding fuel to it. And so this is a command that God is giving Moses and Aaron. And so my question for you this morning is, what are you doing to maintain that fire that God has placed within you? Whether you're a brand new convert or whether you've been saved for you know, however many years, whether you have a calling for destiny, whether you're playing or toying with the idea of calling, Whether you're wanting to do, you know, a Bible study or preach an altar call or do an outreach, whatever God has placed upon your heart, that spark that God has given you, what are you doing to fuel that? What are you doing so that can turn into this raging fire? Because how many of you heard the old saying, light yourself on fire and people come to watch you burn? Right? And that's something that needs to be playing or working out in our lives. The Bible uses fire as a metaphor for God's power. Matthew 3:11.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
He baptized you in the Holy Spirit and fire. This is what Jesus came to do. He came to ignite something within us, a spiritual life, something that will glow, something that will emanate through so that we can share that with others. Because, you know, a fire doesn't stay in one spot. Unless, you know, one time I remember when I was a kid, it was cold and we had to wait at the bus stop, you know, and so it's freezing, it's the middle of December or something like that. And so they were redoing the pipes, sewer pipes right by my house, and so they had these big, huge concrete cylinders there. And they were facing up, so we got the bright idea one day to get some newspaper and some wood and start a fire while we waited for the bus. Problem was is that there was a hole right underneath it, you know, where the other stuff could come in, I guess. And so the wind was blowing right through that. So as soon as we lit that fire, this paper doesn't stay in one spot when it burns, right? It starts to take off. And that's exactly what happened. And right next to me was this big open field of dry weeds. And so we freaked out, you know. Luckily, we were able to contain it and not let it spread. But this is what fire does. It goes from one place to another, to another, to another, to another. And that, the spirit of evangelism, the spirit of this fire, this Holy Ghost fire that God places within us, it's intended to spread to other people. We can't keep it contained. What, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, don't keep your light under a bushel. Or, as so many times it makes references to this spreading. The call, the mandate that God gave His disciples was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It wasn't meant to be contained within us. Whatever God has placed on your heart is not meant to be inside of them and stay there and be satisfied. Oh, I got my little fire inside. I'm good to go, you know. No. It's got to spread to other people. It's contagious. It needs to be contagious. You know, these wildfires that get out of hand, I'm sure Will can explain it to you, you know, better with the correct science and all that stuff. But the idea is that if this thing gets out of control, we're in trouble. It's going to consume something. But how many of you know that's what we need? We need God to consume us. We need God to absolutely get a hold of our hearts, get a hold of our lives, and consume us so that we can just move forward. Just like the revival in the book of Acts. When God came down, what was it like? A flame of fire. And it impacted. People came running to church to see what was going on. Who's to say we can't have that today in our churches, in our congregations, amongst us disciples, in our Bible studies as we gear up for Bible study season? And so, you know, I'm not saying this to toot my own horn, but one of the most incredible, I guess you could take it as a compliment or whatever, but when we had Bible study, it was at a house and some people came and some of the things that they commented was like, it's like I'm in a little church service. It's not because of me, but it's because of what God put in me that I wanted to share that with everybody. I wanted it to be something where everybody can feel what I'm feeling, because the incredible change that happens when God starts burning off things is not meant to be contained. Let's read Luke 12:49.
I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled.
Here is Jesus speaking, and He's saying, I came. This is the reason I came, was to set fire to the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. Exclamation point in your Bible. It's a desire that God wants that God has for each and every one of us, is when He comes again, will there be a fire burning? Will there be something inside of us working where we're spreading that fire? And so, let's read Psalms 104:4.
Who makes his angel spirit his minister of flame of fire.
And so how many of you know, if you're ministering for God, we have to have a desire that the fire is working within us. It has to be our life source. It has to be what motivates us. It has to be what shines forth to other people as we minister. That supernatural, Holy Ghost, anointed fire that just flows out in whatever we do. Whatever we do for the kingdom. Whether it's as simple as cooking a breakfast, cleaning a bathroom, whatever you do, whatever your part is in the church. It's not about us, guys. It's about God working through us, igniting that fire within us. And us, we play a part in that, intending that, keeping it lit, keeping it burning, keeping it going, keeping it raging. And so, secondly, I want to talk about the dangers to the fire. The second law of thermodynamics is that everything in life digresses. Everything fades away. And so, over time, a fire, if it's left unattended, will burn into a pile of ash. If a fire is just left to its own devices, eventually it's going to burn out. If there's no more fuel there, it's going to wither away. And so one of the dangers to the fire is as simple as exhaustion. People that get tired can extinguish the flames of revival. And so like I said, no fire can burn without fuel. The priests in ancient Israel had to ensure a ready supply of fuel, lest the flames be exhausted by a lack of this fuel. And so many Christians, including myself sometimes, struggle against spiritual exhaustion. How many of you have ever been there? You're physically and spiritually tired. And how many of you know that could put a bad taste in your mouth? Why am I doing this? What's the purpose? Why do I have to come home dead tired? I'm giving myself to the ministry. I'm working a job. I'm taking care of my family. I'm playing with the kids. Doing all kinds of. On top of that, I'm in ministry. I'm in a band. I got to do a Bible study now. I got to do revival. I got to go to men's discipleship. I got to go to church. I got to deal with kids in children's church. All kinds of things. These things build up. I remember, when I was on staff, and I was beat. I was tired. It had been a long week, and so Saturday comes along. And we have the meeting, and Louis stays in, and I'm just talking to Louis, and I'm just, commenting to him that I'm exhausted, I'm tired, and it is like a month into my stint as a door director. And he tells me, he's like, man, you gotta rest sometimes. He's like, you're always go, 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 and I understand that's the nature of the job, that's what, he told me. He says, but an effective warrior can't be effective in the battle if he's not rested. And that's what we're involved in, essentially, is a fight, a spiritual fight. And so it's okay to rest, to take a night off, to enjoy your family, to enjoy your wife. That, because that spiritual exhaustion can, like I said, do something inside of us that can extinguish that flame. But the key is there, is don't get comfortable there. Don't get comfortable without doing anything. You know? And so, in the Bible alone, there's 27 instances at least where Christ insisted that time be taken away from the burdens of work. Even God Himself rested on the seventh day. So exhaustion can be absolutely detrimental to the flame that God has put in us. I read a story, a powerful and gifted preacher of the last century, Robert Murray McCheyenne. He died before the age of 30, a physically broken man. He was never strong in physique, but he drove himself mercilessly at his work. and a year before his death, with signs of impending collapse clear, he remarked to a friend, "God gave me a horse to ride and a message to deliver. Alas, I have killed the horse and will not be able to deliver the message." We can't depend just on the gifts, on the giftings, on the tools. That fire has to be maintained. Neglect is a second danger to exhausting the flame. So when people fall away from salvation, ministry, or calling, or destiny, it doesn't happen in an instant. It's not something, you know, they wake up one day and say, "Hey, you know what? Today is the day that I'm just going to give up everything. Today is the day. You know what? I'm done with God. I'm done with the Bible. I'm done with church. I'm done with praying." No. It happens slowly through disregard for that inner life, to that inner fire. Their priorities change. Where once their desire was to seek God's will for their lives, where once their desire was to just live for God and do everything they could, neglect sets within our hearts and you ignore the important things. Your priorities change. You miss a service. You don't pray anymore. You stop reading your Bible. You stop going on outreach. They neglect the fire, and sooner or later, it's going to die out. Just neglecting. Simple. And a lot of times, it just comes out of nowhere. It just comes out of, you know what, man, I'm tired. You know, like I said in the beginning. And then little by little, you start pushing things off. Oh, there'll be plenty of people at outreach. There will be plenty of people at church. They won't miss me. Simple neglect can extinguish the flame. Let's read up verse 9 of our text. Who did I give that to?
I got it. "Command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it."
Here, once again, we understand that we can't let these things creep in. We can't let these things settle within our hearts. There has to be something. There's a constant checking within us. Self-examination. Looking and saying, hey, is there anything that's causing this flame to go out, to dampen this flame? And if there is, we gotta deal with it. And lastly, compromise. When deeply held convictions are thrown out the window, the flame of inner devotion to God, that inner flame, is dampened. You see, our choices can either keep the fire raging or stomp it out. Like John said last night in his video testimony, choices. Simple choices. If I can leave you with one thing, is what he said. Choices make or they break you. And choosing to compromise our convictions, things that God has placed within us, things that God has dealt with us in the past about, that we go back to. It's not healthy for that fire. And so our choices, like I said, can either keep it going or stomp it out. Or maybe it's gradual, little things here, little things there. Well, I'm not going full bore for this other thing. But you're not going full bore for God either. So where do you stand? And so compromise can quench the flame, dimming both vision and desire for God. But a renewing dedication to God can rekindle this fire. If that's where you find yourself this morning, is noticing that there are some things that are extinguishing that flame, that are causing a danger to that flame that God has put in you, then the character of God is to rekindle it. The nature of the God that we serve is to spark it once again. Is to breathe life upon those embers. You know, even if it's just a little bit of smoke that's coming out, your flame, your raging fire has turned into smoke. God promises His nature is to breathe upon it. Once again, life. into us. That's what God wants to do. And if we're going to keep the fire burning, then we, like the priests of the temple, are going to have to follow some specific instruction. And this is what our text highlights, is that there were specific things that they needed to do. Verse 10 and 12, Leviticus 6.
10 and 12?
Yeah. Or 10 through 12, sorry.
And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers he shall put on his body, and take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering on it. Lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering.
And so here we see a picture for us. What we can draw from this, the truth that we can pull from this text, is that this is a picture of us coming to an altar in humility. Coming to an altar and bringing these issues, these things that God is dealing with us that are causing a danger to the flame. Bringing them to an altar and saying, you know what, God, I'm leaving these here. Consume them with your fire. And when those ashes, when God deals with it, we remove those ashes. Maybe ashes of past decisions, past failures, past mistakes. Maybe it's compromise. Maybe it is neglect. Maybe it is exhaustion. These things, God can take those ashes and help us remove them. And then what else does it say? Put on clean garments. It's a picture of renewing. Revitalizing us once again, renewing a decision to take God at His Word and letting Him restore us, letting Him renew us, letting Him rejuvenate us in our spirits once again, letting Him breathe upon those embers. That's how we're going to tend the fire. If it is, in fact, that's where you find yourself this morning, and you're in a self-examination, see that, yeah, maybe there are some things that are quenching that flame. And to keep going forward and to say, you know what? Those things are ashes now. I'm going to remove them from my life. I'm going to put on the new garment. And I'm going to keep this fire going. Because salvation wasn't intended to be some fly-by-night thing. It's intended to be eternal. And we must take careful consideration to the flame that God has placed within each and every one of us. Maybe it's the voice of condemnation that has set in. And the enemy has said, you know what? That fire is long gone, buddy. Those desires, whatever God spoke into your life, is not burning anymore. That's a lie from hell. Because like I said, the character and the nature of the God that we serve is that He can reignite that. Maybe the enemy has lied to you and told you it's never going to be like the way it used to be. But let's read Matthew 12:20.
A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth judgment unto victory.
A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. Even if you do find yourself noticing that maybe, yeah, there are some things that have caused that flame to go out. And it happens, not only as disciples, but in the ministry as well. It happens to pastors. As you're out and you're battling, you're in this fight, maybe you do mess up. You lose people. Issues happen in the ministry. All the gamut of issues that happens that Pastor Greg has highlighted for us in past serious men's classes. We're going to come up to them. We're going to face those things. And the issue is are you going to let those things quench the fire? It starts now, though. It starts with us dealing with those things now. It starts with us tending that fire now. so that when you do go out and you do face those things and the fire does start going, you can look back and say, you know what, God, you helped me here. You have a reference point to what God has done in the past and how He rekindled that within you. And so, you know, Jesus cares. God cares about how we take care of the fire. And what it's going to take to rekindle that fire on the altar of your heart is only if God breathes upon it. But you have to let Him breathe. It has to be a choice that you say, you know what, God, I'm going to let you do this. And when you make that choice, something that Pastor Mitchell, we were talking about this yesterday on the way home. I picked him up from Phoenix. And he says, you know what, when you make a choice to let God move and change your mind and help you and ignite this fire within you, then God becomes your advocate. God becomes your helper. God becomes that supernatural source that we desperately need. And so the condition of our fire is important to God. Our text alone highlights at least three times where it commands us, the fire shall be kept burning. Oh, that we would take that to heart tonight, this morning. And say, you know what? Yeah, that fire has to keep going. I'm not going to let it go out. We need to hold that same conviction that this fire is going to keep going. Especially after revival, after this men's discipleship, after all the things that God has been doing recently. We got to keep that going. In this winter season, in our Bible studies, in the discipleship seasons, in whatever we do throughout this winter season. The haunted house coming up. Are you going to be there to help, to witness to people? Because that's where the action happens. It's not in the event. It's not in how scary the thing is. But it's in one-on-one witnessing. It's in speaking to people, an encounter. They can have that encounter. That same fire that's burning in you can ignite their heart. But are you going to be there? That's the question. And not just be there, sitting down, drinking hot apple cider and eating cookies, but taking a step of boldness and talking to some people, even if they're not like you. We're going to get a lot of people in there that aren't like you. And may not like you at all either, because they think it's a haunted house and now we're preaching to them. But God has placed something within us. A supernatural fire that needs to be tended. That we need to keep burning. And so simply, the question for you this morning is, what condition is your fire in? That's all I have. Any questions? Comments, arguments, rebuttal, jokes, anything. Anthony.
So the fire that we have in us for ministry, can that be transferable to like our family members, wives?
Absolutely. Kind of. Absolutely. But they're going to watch you and see how you're tending it. What you do with it is going to, that's what's going to be the testimony. That's what's going to be what causes them to follow suit. You know what I mean? In a sense. But absolutely, it's transferable. It's contagious, like I said.
Last Monday, I was right there. I was tired. I was telling my wife on the drive home, I'm tired. I gotta do this. And you know, children's church at home. I got children's church here. And got children's church everywhere. And I'm just tired. You know, so after work Monday, you know, I could feel a headache coming on. It was nothing major, but I was like, I'm not going. I'm not going to men's discipleship. We only have one car, and so I got off a little bit later, and she just drove me straight there. She brought dinner. So, all right, you're eating dinner. It's like, I told her afterwards, it's like, this is exactly what I need. She's like, I know.
That's awesome.
You know, and it turned out to be one of the best sermons heard in a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And God does whatever it takes to spark that, even if it is our wife, which a lot of times, if you're honest with yourself, you don't like to hear it from your
wife. You probably displays the best word pictures of something I struggle with the most after getting saved, after I backslid, was it wasn't carnality, because I wasn't drinking, I wasn't smoking, I didn't return back to the things I was doing before I got saved. My issue was I started building up a habit of just saying, I'm tired, I don't want to go to church. I've got this. One of the things I would hide behind too is school. I've got homework, I can't go to church. And I remember after getting saved and genuinely getting saved and remembering how frustrated I was that I feared that I was going to do the exact same thing, because I'd prayed multiple times and I just wasn't getting it. I wasn't sticking. The fire wasn't there. Like, I couldn't feel the Holy Spirit. Nothing was there. And I remember driving down the road one day and remembering, you know, the thought came to me was, what are you doing? I don't read my Bible. I go to church here and there. I don't witness. I don't care about the things of God. And then I remember that in my mind, and thinking, I have to. It's exactly what you just said. I didn't have anything to put that to. But it's just funny how that was the biggest problem I dealt with, was not carnality. It was It was the fact that I just was so complacent. I don't know when I read my Bible. I don't know when I witnessed to somebody. I don't know when I genuinely wanted to go to church.
Sure.
That was my problem. And once I started getting consistent, you know, I got the ball rolling. It builds up snow, and it gets bigger and bigger until finally it's like, I want to go. I like doing these things now, but it's funny just how that never clicks. You dummy. If you don't put fuel in the fire, it's not going to keep burning. This is almost exactly what I experienced almost to the T.
Yeah. And it's going to take work. Bringing fuel to this, you know, the priests in this time, you know, it's not like they had a chainsaw out back and this, you know, all this cordwood already set up that they just had to go get. No, they had to go. It was work for them to tend this fire. And like I said, all other things could be set aside. Their main priority was to make sure this flame was kept. And a lot of times, that's where we lose a lot of good men, is they count the cost. They look and assess the situation and they say, you know, I'm not willing to pay that price. I'm not willing to put in that work. But if we're going to, you know, we're in such an incredible time right now. Like Jerry Fussell said at the revival, it's not that revival's coming, it's already here. We're in the middle of something absolutely incredible. God is pouring out His Spirit. God is moving in situations and in circumstances that are it's incredible. But it is going to take some work. Some action on our part. It's not going to be automatic. Anybody else? Josh.
So that if the diligence could get the wood.
Absolutely. It's probably just...
What can we attribute that wood?
How do you keep it fueled? What is the fuel? Simple, basic stuff first. Reading your Bible. Coming to prayer. Witnessing is absolutely pivotal. Because when you share that, all of you have witnessed to somebody, just that exhilaration that you get when you're speaking, and God is working through you. You know? Or if you do find yourself in that place, you know, where it does seem like the fire's out. Or it does seem like, you know, there's not that life anymore. Bringing it to an altar. In humility. Humility is key. And saying, you know, that's what the altar was for in the Old Testament. Bringing the burnt sacrifice. That's what the priests were also doing. Is bringing that sacrifice, that animal, the fat of the animal, you know, that's what kept the fire going too. And bringing those things, those decisions, those past mistakes, failures, whatever it is that God is dealing with you about. That's why we have altar calls. It isn't so that one of the greatest struggles that we faced in Española was once people got saved and I'd preach a sermon, they wouldn't go to an altar call if God was dealing with them about something, because they thought the altar was simply for people that weren't saved. And so they would say, well, I'm saved, why do I need to go to the altar? Well, did God deal with you about that sermon? Yeah, God was dealing with me. Well, that's what the altar's for. It's not for people that aren't saved. Well, although we do make an altar call, we have people come. That's where it starts, right? At an altar. But that's where it continues as well. And once you lay that down, it's that burnt offering that's going to arise and cause that fire to be sparked once again. And it's through the Holy Spirit. That's why, you know, the spiritual application was that Jesus came to ignite a fire within us. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's absolutely crucial too, to that flame continuing within our lives. You know what I mean? And so, just simple as decisions often too. You know, just making a choice to say, you know what, I'm going to go. Or having his wife make a decision for him. And she says, you're going to go. You know, it's what he needed. Or talking to a brother. Seeking counsel on an issue or something, you know, just little things like that that are going to spark that spiritual fire once again. I don't know if that answers you, but yeah. Yeah. The wood? Well, right. And so, you know, I attributed that to work. You're going to have to work on that. There are some hard decisions sometimes you're going to make. You know? God has to deal with some things on the inside, you know? That are going to either make, you know, your fire burn, or it's going to extinguish it, you know? You don't go out and pick greenwood, right? You're going to make bad decisions, right? Because that's not going to help your fire. And so, you know, there's so many different things that you can apply that to. You know, I chose the dangers to the fire being exhaustion, neglect, compromise as almost being a type of, you know, just something that we can grasp, you know, something that affects us in the ministry, something that affects us in salvation, something that affects us in, pastoring or just in everyday life, you know what I mean? And so coming back and dealing with those issues, I believe that's like the wood. You know what I mean? So.
I just know in my personal walk with God that I've had times where the fire has been just about dead, and brothers coming up to me and saying, hey, what are you doing?
Mm.
That, I mean, that's enough for me to look at the fire and be like, well, it's dead. You know? But then I can address it. You know, then I can, it helps me to focus. I think relationships with saved brothers. Because, you know, there's guys in the church that can drag you down more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, dude, I'm tired too. Let's just go watch a movie. Okay. You know? So it definitely helps saved Christian influence.
Yeah.
Would you say that humility is when you recognize it's there and going to like another brother? You know what I mean? Like, hey, man, I mean, because on multiple occasions for myself, that's what it's been. It's like,
yeah,
I'm going through it. You know what I mean? Like, I need you to help me right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Accountability. Knitting your hearts with brothers that are of like mind. And like desire, you know, that's what's going to pull you. And you know, for me, you know, it's like, you know, we all have Pastor Greg, we all have Pastor Mitchell, we have brothers in the church, but when I was in Española, I also had pastor friends, you know, and those people that I could call and be like, man, you know, this is going on, you know, help me pray, you know, JW, Adam Porter, Mitch Montoya, you know, Ray Sanchez, all these guys that I got to know, you know, as I was out in the ministry. Because, you know, in that sense, they kind of understand, too, what you're going through, you know. So they're going to help you. They're going to give you maybe a different perspective on what's going on, you know. And likewise, they call you, you know. And so it's absolutely crucial to have relationships, godly ones. Ken.
I'm reminded in the book of Acts, it talks about the disciples. They had a zeal.
Mm.
And people commented and they said they could tell that they had been with Jesus.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's an application for us that we stick close to God, we're going to get that fire and keep it on us. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And same with, you know, we've heard comments over the years, people have called some of our pastors Mitchellites.
Mm.
Because they have a zeal that Pastor Mitchell has.
Yeah.
Paul, you may have, like, someone who was called to be you already have a network.
I got my phone and I went through the contacts and I went like that and I pushed the button and it called him. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was just, you know, friends that I had, just people that I had talked to and fellowship, you know, in establishing relationships and just calling them and saying, you know what, this is what's going on, man, help me, you know. So, there wasn't any specific, like, science to it or formula to it, it was just, man, you know, Adam, help me. Or JW, help me. Or Pastor Greg, help me. You know? And so, there wasn't anything specific to it. But I had them, which was awesome. It wasn't like I called Adam for, you know, this issue or, you know, somebody else for that issue or, you know, Jesse was my money man or, you know.
So then, the opposite would be, I mean, your pride, essentially, yeah? I mean, you don't want to sacrifice. You don't want to bring these things openly. You don't want to open up to people, right? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you could begin to isolate, and then your fire is just diminishing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, isolation is dangerous. You know? It's very dangerous. Because that it's in a place of isolation that the enemy really loves to assault. And if you're already battling, you know, this issue of that flame extinguishing, man, it's you almost give him the right of way, in a sense, to just say, you know what, go ahead and stomp it out. You give him access to it, basically, you know. And so, yeah, absolutely, isolation. Pride. Very dangerous thing, pride. Anyone else? Main thing is if you do find yourself in this place, it can be rekindled. That's the awesome thing about God. You know? No matter what situation, it's like God has provided a way for us to come to Him and say, you know what? Can you breathe on this thing? You know? And when it happens, it's awesome. Anybody else? Question? Ken?
In aviation, if you are a pilot and you want to take passengers within the past 90 days, you have to have done certain things. They call that the currency requirement. Because they don't want people dropping out of the sky and killing people. So
probably a good idea.
Good thing. But the same thing applies in the Christian life. We need to have a currency in our Bible reading, prayer, going to church. And I can tell as flying is if you don't do it for a while, your skills, it could start slacking off a little bit.
Mm.
You know, and it's noticeable, and other people can notice it. More experienced people can notice it.
Well, one thing interesting is if you're going to have people with you. You're not going to go down by yourself, right?
Yeah.
You're going to go down with people. That's dangerous ground. Trevor.
One thing I've learned from my dad is, even though, like, when we do fire pits, we'll just let it burn out, and then the next day, looks like there's nothing there, but at the bottom it's still hot.
Yeah.
Just put a log on and it starts back up again.
Yeah. Yep. So God's able to do. Don't count yourself out. Fire pits. That's when you put deodorant on and it burns.
I'm reminded of when I was young, me and my brothers, we had to go up to Uncle Frank's when they lived on the ranch. They lived in the ranch in Colorado. And they're like, all right, I believe that we're just going to go up there and like quads and stuff. But they're like, all right, well, we're going to cut some wood. And I'm like, oh, gosh, we're just going to the barn. They move up the mountain, start cutting trees down. Cut the trees, then they cut them into our little blocks, whatever. We have to throw them in the trailers, and we're driving back to the ranch, and I'm like, yes, we're finally done. You know, and then they're like, all right, now we got to split all the wood. And I'm like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, we got to cut all this stuff into small pieces? And then we go inside the barn, and there's this thing covered up, and they pull the blanket out, and it's like light shone upon this thing. It's like, brand new wood splitter, you know what I mean? And it's like, that's kind of like a picture of this. Is like, yes, it takes work, but sometimes there's something else that, you know what I mean?
And
something else gets involved in it.
Exactly. And that's what I was saying. When you make that choice, God becomes your advocate. God becomes that backing force, that supernatural thing that we don't possess, you know what I mean, a lot of times. But God comes in and he's like, you know what, this is going to work. You know?
He showed me how to work.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And the best thing to do is get out of the way when that thing's working, right? When that log splitter's splitting those logs. Get out the way. Let it do its thing. Yes, sir. Let God do his thing in your life. Steve.
Talking about isolation and opening up, you know what I mean? Careful who you talk to, you know what I mean? So when you're talking to people, you know, sense that you are how do you process that?
In talking to people?
Yeah, I mean,
like with issues and stuff? Yeah, yeah.
And, you don't want
to knit your heart with your pastor. Your pastor has incredible depth of wisdom and knowledge, man. That'll help you navigate what you're going through, whatever circumstance. Many times, man, I've gone to pastor with issues or situations that he's absolutely, God used him, you know, to breathe life back in or into my sails, you know, stuck in the doldrums of life, you know, not going anywhere, feeling like you're not going anywhere. But when I knit my heart with my pastor and I made that decision, you know what, whatever the situation, good, bad, right, wrong, whatever the issue is, I'm going to go to my pastor with it and see what he thinks. Knitting your heart with your pastor will absolutely bring a crucial element of help, you know, for whatever you're going through. Because I know how it is, talking to your peers or talking to people or, you know what I mean, it can almost feel like, oh, well, they just want to get in my business, they just want to know what's going on, they're going to go tell other people. But you know what, you have a safe, there's a safeguard when you talk to your pastor. That's what he's there for, is to help you navigate and circumvent these things, these issues in life, these landmines, so to speak. Because even if he doesn't know, he's going to seek the mind of God for what you need, you know. And so that's what I would say, and that goes for everybody, you know, not just Steve, that's for everybody.
I was just thinking, one of the best fuels that we need to be God involved, it seems.
Sure.
Old to say, like seeing that happen.
Yeah.
Like lighter fluid.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. people getting saved. New converts, that's the fuel. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Not just getting saved, but sticking, right? Staying saved. Yes. Anybody else? All right.